Today we're going to be looking at Time is Life. We're going to start off today honoring the Lord. We'll stand as we read Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. But as I read this, I want to mention to you before I read it, 29 times in 8 verses. That means more than 3 times every single verse of these 8 verses, you're going to see a time. Folks, in God's view, time, your time and my time, is important. It's not to be wasted. And so as we read this, every time I hit a time, I want you to think, ooh, talking about me, because we have a time. I don't know how many years I'm going to live, but I know that a time is getting closer every day. And so the time we have is important with God. To everything, there is a season for every activity under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Fathers, we study about the time of our lives. Help us to know what time it is for us right now, what your will is for our lives right now. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Little children that were here this morning, you heard them getting kind of anxious. Why are children so anxious about time? Because here we are up here sitting when we could be downstairs having fun. It seems like so much of my time is just taken up with just stuff. I want to get to the good stuff. When we turn to be teenagers, what happens to our time? We get so anxious because life is coming at us so fast, we can't hardly keep up. And then when we become adults, we get all caught up in time because everything has to be done in a timely fashion or nothing seems to get done at all. And then you get a little bit older and you realize how precious time really is because you can feel it slipping by. Folks, I want to talk to you about time today. The Bible talks about two kinds of people, how they handle their time. Our Lord has a great deal to say about time because time is the stuff that your life and mine is made up of. So what is time? Time is a measurable period in which events take place or continue to take place. You understand there's coming a time pretty soon when the events of this life for Jerry Larkin is going to be done. Whatever Jerry Larkin's going to do, he has to do in the time allotted for him. And the same thing is true for you. The end of your life was recorded in God's book before one day of your life started. You don't have time to waste. And so I want to tell you to be eager about how you handle your time, because God tells us your time is precious to him as well. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So when we talk about not being foolish, you know, the Bible splits mankind into two different groups, the fools and the wise. I'm going to talk to you first about the fools, how they handle their time. And then we're going to talk about the wise, and hopefully that includes you in the wise section. But the fool wastes literally his whole life. We say, well, who's the fool? Is it somebody that's not very smart? No. There are some extremely intelligent people that in God's eyes are fools. In Psalm 14, verse 1, here's the definition of a fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, and there's no one who does good. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. When you took your science classes in high school or college, you were taught, basically, unless you went to a Christian school, you were taught by a fool. A very smart guy who could tell you all the scientific things that weren't science. Evolution is not science, my friend. Evolution is a theory made up by men that says there is no God. Life just happened. A person who believes in evolution has to believe that there are natural laws that we all say are in this universe. There are natural laws that are there. But nobody gave those natural laws. It just happened. The fool says that life just evolved out of nothing. Folks, does that sound a little foolish? It definitely does to God. And yet, children around our country and around the world are being taught that there is no God. There's no need to live for God's glory. There's no need to know God because God doesn't exist. Folks, that's the fool. So the fool says in his heart, there is no God. There's nobody in charge of all this. You and I are on a spinning ball. It rotates at 1,000 miles an hour around, 24-hour day, remember? 24,000 miles around the equator of the earth every day, 24,000 miles an hour, we're zipping around, and we're zipping around the sun at 1,000,000 miles an hour, but nobody's in charge of that. It just takes care of itself. Folks, that's foolish. How does God deal with a fool? It's extremely important you understand this because some very intelligent, very nice people are living their life, their whole life, as a fool. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the Lord speaks to the fool. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind that they do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. Folks, that's the fool. And we live in a nation now, I hate to say it, but full of fools. We have so many people today that reject the knowledge of God. They see the planets in order year after year after year. They see the stars up in the heavens in the same place year after year, and yet there's nobody in charge of all that. Folks, that's what God says a fool is. The foolish man fills his days with only concerns of this life, because as far as he's concerned, there's nothing beyond this life. So all they live for is today. No reference to God, no reference to eternity. Today is their message. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of a fool. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Folks, do you understand? So many people are storing up, but they have no time to give anything to God by serving others with the surplus they have. The world says, "That's a smart man. That's a man, boy, he's got a lot of money. Big house, big car, big boat." And God says what? "That man's a fool. He's living toward this life only with no reference to eternity." You see, God has called us and blessed us with many blessings. 1 Corinthians 9:8 says he's made us rich so that we can do what? So we can be rich in every good work. He wants you to take the extra you have and use it to help those that don't have. Folks, the Lord said, "The poor you have what? Always with you." There are people around you that need help. And God has blessed you so that you can do what? You can be the source of that help. Time and talents and finances. Some people don't have much money, but you're very talented. You can share your talent with those that don't have that. Some of you don't have money or talent, but you've got lots of time. I just heard about a lady at our hospice that I work for. This lady is volunteering when somebody's actively dying and there's no family, that she will go and sit with them during those last hours. Because how many want to die alone? That's not fun. You want somebody there. And if there's no family, there's no friends, there's no neighbors, and many people are in that situation, this gal says, "I'll take my time and I'll just sit with them. I'll pray with them. I'll talk with them. I'll try to make it as easy as I can." Folks, she's using her time to bless others. I don't know how much her finances she has. I don't know how much talent she has. But she's got time. And so do you and I so far. We still got time. So when the Lord calls somebody a fool, guess what? They're a fool, whether they think they are or not. No matter how wise they think they are, God is saying you are wasting your life. It's all about you. It's all about your time, your money, your talent. And it shouldn't be. Who gave you your time, your talents, and your money? God did. And he wants you to use it for his glory. So if you're not living as a fool and you're living for the Lord, what should mark your life? In James chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this or that city and spend a year there. We're going to carry on business and we're going to make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it's the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them." Folks, if the Lord is telling you there's something you ought to be doing and you don't move on it, that's sin in your life. The Lord wants to direct your life. He doesn't want you directing your own life. That's so hard for young Christians especially to understand at all. You mean I'm not in charge of my life anymore? When we talk about abortion, what do the women say? It's my body. What does God say? No, it's not your body. I created that body. That body's mine, whether you're a Christian or not. Folks, it's so important we understand what God wants here. He wants us to live for His glory, not our own. He wants us to spend our time for His glory, not our own advancement. Now, there's nothing wrong with college. There's nothing wrong with school. There's nothing wrong with jobs. We have to all do those things. But are you doing it as unto the Lord, or are you doing it for yourself? Are you living as a fool? Or now we're going to talk about the wise. This is what I want you to focus on today. There is a way that you and I should be spending our time, because you are spending your time, whether you know it or not. Today you don't have as long as you had yesterday to live. You have 24 hours less than you had yesterday. Tomorrow you're going to have 24 hours less than you had today. This life is passing, and it's exciting to me that God tells us exactly how He wants us as Christians to live. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, the Lord says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." What does that mean? That means at one time you and I were fools. We lived for this life alone because we didn't know about the next life. So all of us are in the same boat. We all were at one time fools. But now, He's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, and it's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Folks, it's so important to understand God has a plan for your life. Our Lord is the source of all true wisdom. I'm not talking about all true intelligence, because a lot of people have a lot of intelligence how to live in this world. But God is the only one that can give you the wisdom to live skillfully in this world, planning for the next world. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Back 5-6 years ago, we all memorized as a church, or tried to, Isaiah 33, verse 6. Isaiah 33, 6 says, "He will be the sure foundation for your time, a rich source of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure." Folks, you need to memorize that verse. It's so important to understand. He's the source of wisdom and knowledge, but He's also the source of your time. He's the one that put you on this earth at this time in history. You could have been born any time in history. God could have plugged you in any place, but He wanted you for this time. There are things that God wants you to accomplish with the time that you have. He wants you to bless others with your life. When you receive God's wisdom, then you start to live for the things of eternity. It doesn't mean you're not interested in making an income. It doesn't mean you don't want your children to do well in school. It means all those things now are done for God's glory, and that changes everything. In James chapter 3, verse 13, He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For when you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. For the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. There are so many Christians that I know that have a bitter heart. They're stirring up division among people, and they think they're doing it for the Lord. You're not. And I'm not speaking to anybody in this church. We've got pretty good harmony here. But I've been in churches where I've seen that. People think they're doing the right thing when they're constantly putting each other down. You didn't do enough. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Folks, that's not the way the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to rejoice in the successes that we see in the lives of others. He wants us to praise others when they're doing well. And so you get to choose. Are you going to live wise before the Lord, or are you going to live the same way the world lives? The world's constantly putting each other down. How do I get ahead? By stepping on you. I move up one more notch. Folks, that ought never to be for a Christian. It's easy to play the fool and just live for today, but the Lord wants us to live for His glory. Young children in school, can they live wisely in this world? A young child in school ought to know pretty quick, I'm not going to be 5 anymore. Pretty quick, I'm going to be 6 and then 7 and 8 and 18. So what should a little child do if they're going to live wisely? Prepare for the future God is equipping you to. What should parents be watching for in their children? Lord, how did you make this son or this daughter? What are their skills? What are their abilities? What should I be helping them get toward? Folks, so often we look at that child, we say, I want them to be just like me. Folks, they're not just like you. Each one is different. Your job as a parent, if you're going to live wisely, is find out how God equipped that child and then encourage them in that way. They're not you. They're a totally different individual than you. You want them to know what God made them for. And when you can do that, you're living as a wise parent. And when a child can say, I know God has made me for something. People search their whole life to know, why am I here? There are young children that know why they're here. There are young children that know already what God has equipped me for. And they're on mission. Folks, Charlie Kirk, many of you know the name. He didn't wind up serving the Lord and just make a quick decision. He knew from a young age God had called him and equipped him for something special. He's no different than you. God has equipped you, and you're special too. But we have to pursue it. You can't waste your childhood and then decide, okay, now I'm just going to go out in the world and I'm going to make it. It doesn't work that way. You get those years to equip yourself. You get those years to learn who you really are, what you're special at. And you get to pursue that your whole life. I remember so many people in the shop with I and Tim. They were totally miserable. They hated their jobs. Why? Because they were in the wrong field. They should have been something else. But nobody guided them. Nobody said, you're not made for this kind of work. You ought to be a farmer. You ought to be a doctor, whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. But people are equipped by God for special reasons, and you and I need to search that out. It doesn't have to be wasted. You can invest from a very young age and keep growing and keep moving forward with God. But if you live like a fool, I'm just here on accident. I'm just a child. I have no purpose. Even children have purpose, and they've got to prepare for what God has. In Psalm 31, verse 14, but I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, for those who pursue me. My time is in your hands. Folks, whether you think that's true or not, it is absolutely true for you too. We need to be pursuing God. Have you placed your life in God's hands? Now, your life is in His hands whether you've done it or not. But for you to reap the benefit of that, you have to say, Lord, my life is in your hands. I'm going to trust you. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, this is counterintuitive. This is not the way most people think about life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. What's he asking you to do? He's asking you to say, Lord, I don't know what you'd have me do. And the younger you can ask that and proclaim that, the better it is. Lord, I don't know why I'm here. I'm putting my life in your hands. I totally submit to you, and now the promise. He'll direct your steps. From a young child, he'll direct you. How much time should I put into this study, Lord, at school? And how much should I put into this? This is what you've equipped me for, but I need to know this, but it's not where my heart is. I'm going to lean heavy here and not so heavy here. You understand what I'm saying? You can miss the whole boat. Dad and Mom may say, music is everything. You've got to get into music. You've got to do it. And your heart's over here. Folks, even as a child, you've got to follow your heart. Your parents have to understand. You're not them. I don't care how old you are or how old your parents are. You're not your parents. In Psalm 139, verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days, remember the time? All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knows the end of your life. I don't. I don't even know the end of my own life. So let me ask, when's the last time you asked God to direct your steps? This is so important because if you don't ask, Jesus said you have not because you what? You don't ask. You don't even want to know what my plan is for your life. Folks, there are so many people that go through their whole life, like I said before, that have no idea why they're here. They've raised their children, they've retired, and now they're looking back at their life and they're saying, why was I here? What's this all about? That's a shame. It's too bad they didn't find out when they were 6, 7, 8, or 9 who I am and why I'm here. When was the last time you asked the Lord to direct your steps? I want to ask you, would you ask him today if you haven't recently? Would you ask him tomorrow and the next day? Because his plan for your life, believe it or not, changes every day. He has something new every day for you and for me. And if you don't ask, you don't receive. The day is coming, as I mentioned, when one day this life is going to be over. And people say, well, what then? Well, then's the judgment. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, just as people are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. So what's going to be judged? You're going to be judged according to how you used your time and your giftedness. Whatever time you have, whatever giftedness you've been given, how have you used that for Christ's glory and for the good of others? Folks, it's so important you understand why you're going to be judged. Taxes are coming due, aren't they? We're into January now, April 15th, taxes are due. Wouldn't it be nice to know all the rules that are going to affect you and to understand those so that you can wisely use your time and finances? It's no different with God. If you know what's going to be judged, you can use your time a little differently. Our God has given gifts and talents to every single one of us. You may say, I'm not the most talented, and you may be very right. But you are talented, and your job is to find out what those talents are. Some people have one or two, some people have many. But your responsibility is to find out what it is in my life that God has gifted me with, and now I'm going to use my talents for your glory because God gave it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working. But in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To one, another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one of us just as He determines. You may wish you had different gifts, but God is the equipper. You don't get to choose. That was given you at your birth. The second you were conceived, you were made uniquely for God. There has never been another person just like you, because you were created for this time and for the very family you were born into and for the people that God had in this time for you to touch. The Lord wants you to know He wants you to use your giftedness and your time for His glory while you have time. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let me ask you, are you a good steward of God's time? Are you using the gifts and the talents and the time God has given you for His glory and for the blessing of those around you? If you are, you're a good steward. A steward is what? A steward is not an owner. He doesn't control his own life. He doesn't get up in the morning and, oh, what a beautiful morning. I think I'll just, maybe I'll go golfing today. No. Maybe I'll watch football. No. A steward does what? Hey, you get out in that field, you get out in that 40 acres, and you do what I tell you to do out there. Because what? A steward always has a master. A steward is not in charge of their own life. You and I are not to be in charge. But sadly, we run our lives like we are. You know that old song, "It's Your Thing, Do What You Want to Do"? That's absolutely not true. Especially if you're a Christian, it's not your thing. You are not to do whatever you want to do. It's God's thing in your life. You're here on mission. He wants you to do His will, not yours. Folks, this is so important. It's the foundation of what we are to be doing as Christians. In 1 Corinthians 4:1, this then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ, and those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. People ask me, what can I pray for you, Pastor Jerry? What would you like to have? I said, I would like to be faithful. I'm not called to be successful. I'm called to be faithful, and so are you. Faithful with what God has given, that I might use it for His glory and others' good. And it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a lay person, a mom, a dad, a single person, it doesn't matter. What matters is God has equipped you, and He wants you to use your voice and your talents for His glory. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Now, this is only talking to Christians. Non-Christians, your body is not the temple of the Holy Spirit yet. Who is in you, whom you received from God, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is honoring our God with our bodies. Our Lord has works that He determined before the foundation of the world that He wants you and I to do. Those works were planned before you were ever born. God knew you before you were born. God set out special works Our job is to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What are those jobs? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, it's for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast, and here's the key. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Folks, God has jobs for you. He's the master, you're the steward. He calls the shots, you simply obey and do what he's called you to do. When you live your life that way, you're living as a wise person. You're under God's leadership. You're getting your directions from him. Sadly today, so many Christians, and I'm going to say Christians because I believe they are, but I don't have time every day to pray. I'm a busy, busy person. What does God say about that? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What does God say about your time? If he's the boss and you're the steward, you are to make time. Not just 5 minutes in the morning, but all through your day. Giving thanks to God, praising him as you're going, praying about every single matter. So many Christians I know say, I'm just too busy to take time to read my Bible. Although they know the Master has said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, I am studying. I'm studying biology and physics, and I'm studying how to carpenter. I'm studying how to be a plumber. But are you studying the Word of God so you can be approved to God? That yes, I know what God wants me to do, and I'm right in the process of doing exactly what my God has equipped me to do. It takes time. Time is what life is made of, and you are the steward of your time. Who should be calling the shots on your time? It should be the Master. And he will tell you how to spend your time if you'll ask him. So many Christians say that I don't have time to go to church. When Dave and I go down the road Saturdays, you'd be amazed how many people tell us, yes, we used to go to church faithfully, this church or that church or whatever, but we haven't been now in 10 years. Yes, we know the Lord. Yes, he's our master. What does the Lord say about the church? You know, the Bible says the church is the pillar and the foundation of truth. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I got to tell you the truth. There are some ministries on television that are worth time watching, but you can't assemble together watching somebody on television. God wants you in a local body someplace. Doesn't have to be here, but some church that's teaching his word. He wants you assembling and serving one another in the local church. Everybody here ought to have some way of ministering in whatever church you go to. Sooner or later, you're probably going to leave here and go someplace, but wherever you go, go there with, Lord, how can I serve these people with the talents and the time and the finances you've given me? What can I do? Do you think he won't tell you? He longs to tell you. He wants you busy about his work. He wants you involved in a local church. Every one of us have 1,440 minutes every day. Those minutes are going by. Only what's done for Christ. You should be parenting for Christ's glory. You should be attending a church for Christ's glory. You should be going to school or on your job for Christ's glory. Raising those children for Christ's glory. Why? because I'm a steward. I'm not the boss. I'm under command of the Lord. He's directing my steps. He's telling me what to do with the time. In 2 Corinthians 6:1, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of his salvation. That sounds like something you need to receive in time. So many people, I'm going to get saved a little later because I want to enjoy life now. I want to be in charge. Folks, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. But if you happen to die before you've received Christ, guess what? The whole of your life is wasted. All the time you lived, there's no reward. I tell people, when's the time for a child to get saved? The younger, the better. 4, 5, 6. My oldest daughter got saved at 3.5. You say, well, that can't be. Well, she led a friend to the Lord at 5. So it can be. Folks, I want to tell you, the younger you get saved, the quicker you determine, Lord, you made me. I'm your creation. How have you gifted me? What would you have me do? The quicker you can ask those questions, the quicker life begins to make sense. The quicker everything comes together for you. And when you're studying, you know what to study. When you're active on your job, you know which portion of that job you ought to really put your heart into. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. How do you receive God's grace in vain? God is telling you, this is how I want you to live. But you're not taking it. You're determining in your own heart, I'm going to run my life. I know, Lord, you told me you want me to do that, but that's not what I want to do. You're going to miss the boat. You can do that if you want to. People, so sadly, no time for church, but they can get into that football stadium and 100,000 people shouting and screaming, and oh, this football game is the most important thing in my life. Folks, again, as Tim Brancic would say, 100 years from today, is it going to matter whether Michigan won or lost? It's not. Is it going to matter whether your particular golfer got a hole in one or not? It's not going to matter. What matters is what's done for Christ. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6 now, Paul's going to ask a question. And this is the question I want you to think about. Paul has seen a vision of the Lord, and now the Lord says to him, get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Paul asked, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Folks, do you know why you don't know what God's plan is for your life? You're not asking with a heart that really wants to know. If you really want to know what God wants you to do, every single day, all you have to do is ask. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. You are investing your life. Now, I love the idea of investing with interest. The more interest, the more I'm interested. Why? Because that's how you build up your finances. You don't build up your finances by going in debt. That's the opposite way. I'm investing my life for God's glory. Now's the time to make the investment. You can't do it after life is done, but you can do it now. You can live for Christ. You can study your Bible. You can go to church. You can raise your children for Christ's glory from the youngest right on up. As grandparents, now most of us are a little bit older, we're done with our kids, but there's those grandkids, and now for some of us, there's great-grandkids. You can get those presents for your grandchildren that are going to direct them towards the Lord. Yes, toys are wonderful, but there are toys that are made that are going to help your grandchildren move towards Christ. Those are the toys you get them when you're young. You don't get them what they want. You get them what they need. Now, sometimes you get them what they want too, but that's what the Lord wants you to do is invest your time. So I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. Number one, what are you living for? What's most important to you? Number two, which direction are you headed? Are you headed toward fulfilling what the Master wants you to do? Or are you chasing after your own heart, what you want to do? What do you want to accomplish with the time the Lord has left for you? Now, those of us are getting older, that time is getting shorter. But what do you want to do if you're healthy enough the next 10 years? What's your goal? Have you ever written anything down to put it on paper? To say, Lord, this is what I think you're directing me to. If it's not quite right, Lord, would you show me? Those are questions we don't like to ask because why? Because we don't want anybody to tell us how to live our lives. We want to be in charge. Number four, are you using your time to best advantage for God's glory? Because your time is slipping away. Every day, we're one day shorter. Every day. How many days you got? I can't tell you. God knows. I don't know. And then the last question, do you want to spend your life for your Master's glory? Or do you want to spend it just for your own glory? Even Christians can get this wrong. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm not going to say all your sins are not going to be forgiven. What I am saying is, when judgment day comes for the Christian, everything you've done from the day you got saved till the day you die is going to go through the fire. If it's wood, hay, and straw, it's gone. You're not going to be condemned for it. There's no condemnation for a Christian. But that part of your life is just gone. But everything you've done for Christ's glory is going to go through the fire. It's gold, silver, precious stones. It's going to go through that fire, and you're going to get an eternal reward. It's never going to stop. Folks, I just can't encourage you enough. Seek the Master's will. Seek to know, Lord, why have you made me, and why am I here at this time? And what would you have me to do? Father, we're so richly blessed. More than any other time in history, I'm glad I'm at this time. Father, we were made for this time. But we were made for your glory. Lord, give us the wisdom now to seek you, to seek your will, to do your will for your glory. Father, what a blessing you've given us to be alive now. Use us, and we'll give you that praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.